Carl.
Hi, Carl.
And I've been a grateful member of Al-Anon for about 16 months. I qualified to be in Al-Anon because of my own thinking. And that thinking was developed through my childhood of really being just immersed in the family disease of alcoholism. All the way up to my great-grandmother, I remember being an untreated Al-Anon. On neither side of my family did we have AA or Al-Anon. I never remember hearing anything about it. So everyone was untreated on both sides. My grandfathers and the men in my family were alcoholics and passed away so. And the women in my family were untreated Al-Anons. And there was the variety from the very efficient, productive, wealthy, pull yourself up from the bootstraps, growing up in the Depression, alcoholics that were controlling and very verbally abusive to my grandmothers, to the other side that were doormats. And we had alcoholism expressed in wealth and education and in an uncle who today I still don't know what happened to him. The last I knew, he was living on the streets in Desert Hot Springs. So we've had the gamut. Anyway, every face of alcoholism has been in my family. And when I was a young child, my parents divorced. But before they divorced, I learned how two untreated Al-Anons treat each other, which was with violence and anger, lots of yelling, lots of chaos, and definitely conditional love. When my parents divorced, I wanted to go with my dad because he didn't hit me. He verbally abused me, but he didn't hit me. And so I was the oldest of three children, and I remember being in the front yard, and one had one hand and the other had the other hand and were pulling me back and forth. And my mom finally let go, and I went with my dad. So in the 70s, it was very unusual to be living with your father. And he moved me from Washington to Florida, where he took a job managing a resort. It was a really big Orlando resort, and he had no time to take care of me. So I remember one time being called into the school office because my dress was too short and my panties were showing. Well, nobody taking me shopping. No one, you know, the hotel limousine took me to school. So it became clear that I wasn't getting any care. And when I reached out to my mother, she would say to me, you know, you chose to go with your dad. You're dead to me. So I felt very alone and abandoned. And my dad sent me to live with some family friends back in California. And they were my aunt and uncle, if you would, but they were just family friends. Really, it was my parents' maid and her husband. They were both alcoholics. They started in the morning. I think it was probably bourbon now that I'm an adult. It was a big bottle of brown alcohol with a handle. They went through probably three of those a week. And they started in the morning. I was taught to put it in their coffee. And by the evening, she would pass out. And then for about a year and a half, he came into my room every night and molested me. And that was a different face of alcoholism because I never saw him slur his words or anything like that, but the control was definitely there. And I felt so much control from him and that I was to do everything he told me, and I really still today don't totally understand how come he had so much control over me, because he didn't hit me, he didn't, you know, but there was so much control that, and it was so important that appearances, you know, that we kept up the appearances, that I was going to be flying to see my father in Florida. I didn't know it. It was a surprise. And so they sent me to school. I was in third or fourth grade, with those pink sponge rollers. And, you know, I was so afraid of him that I did not take them out. I walked around school. You can imagine what that day was like. I walked around school with these pink sponge rollers in my hair because I was told not to take them out. And then I found out later that I was going to Florida, and of course, if I had to look perfect for my dad, everything had to look okay, so then, you know, it made a little sense why they made me do that. But I look back on that, and it's no wonder that as I got older, I started to buck anybody that wanted to try to control, you know. But, so then when my, then I, after a while, they decided to move to Texas, and I went to live with my with my other I went to live with a grandmother in California, my dad's mother, and she was a raging untreated Al-Anon. Very much concerned about perfectionism. I never questioned that she loved me. She treated me like a doll. I dressed like a doll. I had to take a little note for PE because I wasn't allowed to get my patent leather shoes in fifth grade scuffed. Her sense of loving me was to dress me up and make sure that I looked perfect on the outside. And she was very frustrated. I have a lot of compassion for her today because she was so frustrated that she couldn't control my grandpa's drinking. He provided beautifully for them, but he chose to go to the golf course, you know, after work and go to the golf club and drink rather than come home and face her rage. And so it was interesting because I started, as I got older, to only recognize her raging, not understanding why, and became closer and closer to my grandpa. When he came home, he was fun. You know, he was drunk and fun and would always say to me, you know, take care of yourself, you're a queen. He had always really these loving things to talk to me about, which I hadn't heard before. And when I was 12, my dad remarried, and he married a woman who, come to find out now, as she started to go to Al-Anon, that her two stepfathers were raging alcoholics. But she was provided the most sense of stability in my life that I'd ever had, and she was definitely exhibits the principles above personality. That my stepmother just, you know, if nothing else, she was principled and calm, and that was really a blessing in my life. Then in my teenage years, you know, the things that you would expect. I looked for love in the wrong places. I continued to feel abandoned, would choose people in my life that couldn't possibly provide what I needed, which, first of all, was a understanding of myself. And then, you know, I definitely was looking for bread at the hardware store, any kind of emotional support or anything. I think that at that time I was attractive and so that got me some attention that I didn't know how to manage. And so I made some really bad choices in my late teens and early 20s. And at 27, I married a man who quit drinking and doing drugs for me. You know, I decided to go to church. My parents had become very involved in a church that was very controlling. And I decided that I didn't want to have alcohol in my life. I didn't want to have drugs in my life. So I married a man who had those things and then just stopped because I told him to. And so bless his heart, he was, you know, he probably now I understand was most likely a dry drunk. He was angry. There was lots of physical violence, lots of just a lot of chaos, lots of chaos. And some of it was familiar and some of it became familiar. And I had three beautiful children, and they grew up in that chaos. And things got so bad that at one point, I started thinking about suicide when I was 12 after the sexual abuse, and when I called my mom, and she said, "You're dead to me." So suicide had come up over the years, and it became more and more. I forgot to say that while I was looking for love in the wrong places, I did find myself in a situation where I was date raped. And it just goes on and on with all the things that that life threw at me that I really didn't know how to set boundaries for. You know, I had no idea, no tools of how to set boundaries for. And so after 17 years of marriage, I finally got a divorce. I married this man not long after that just seemed to bring everything that I had needed, stability, love, gentleness. And you know, before long, all the chaos showed up in our marriage. I was angry and resentful again. I was crying all the time. All this stuff showed up in our marriage. And I can't tell you how desperate I felt and how dark. And then I thought, you know, there's no hope. If I can't work with this situation, then there's no hope. And I actually called my sister-in-law, who, come to find out, 20 years in AA. I called her because she was the one family member on his side that I really liked. And so I called her and said, you know, I just want to explain to you that most likely Jerry, my husband and I are going to get a divorce. And I just want to know how much I've appreciated you to know how much I've appreciated your support. And she said, you know, before you get a divorce, have you recognized, have you thought that maybe some of these challenges that you have are because you grew up in an alcoholic home? And, you know, we certainly have alcoholism in our family, and your husband grew up in an alcoholic home. And have you ever considered going to Al-Anon? And at that moment, I was so desperate that it was really go to Al-Anon or commit suicide. I mean, I was so, because I just could, I was reasoning in my head that I can't continue to live this way. So the only rational thing for me to do was just check out, because I really didn't know that there was any other options. I'd tried everything that I could think of, and everything that everybody advised me to do. And so I hung up the phone, called the hotline, and a woman named Jean from Palm Desert took my call. She called me back, and she said, there's a Tuesday meeting in Palm Desert at noon. In an hour, I'll meet you there. So I went. And it was hard because that church is big, and, you know, so many things told me don't go. You know, I went to the wrong place and all this stuff. And so, but I got in there, into those rooms, and I knew I'd found what I needed. And so I went home and told my husband, and we went to the Tuesday night meeting together. And there's been a few times that we've missed, but pretty much we have not missed Al-Anon since we started 16 months ago. And so the talk for me today, and that's just, you know, all the how I got to where I was, but that's not who I am, and that's not who, even how I think of myself today. But my talk today is, you know, the topic is let go or be dragged. But really for me, it was what I was dragging around that I needed to let go of. And if I, you know, if you had been able to picture me when I went into that Tuesday night or that Tuesday morning meeting, I would have had this huge knapsack, you know, with these boulders in it. And some of the boulders would have been control, fear, confusion, perfectionism, disorganization, shame, lots of shame, anger, blame, abandonment, materialism, unrealistic expectations, physical and emotional and verbal abuse. I became a verbal abuser also. People pleasing, I was suicidal, I was resentful. I mean, it's surprising I could get through the door. Self-pity, arrogance, grief, dishonesty. I mean, all this stuff I was carrying around. And so what Al-Anon has done for me is it's given me an opportunity to take a look at those boulders. Some of them I've only been able to chip away at. Others have completely, you know, gone into sand. And I need glasses, so I can't even see them anymore. You know, they're so small. But I think one of the things that has really helped me is to get rid of resentment. I'm just going to talk about a few of these ones that have really started to change in my life. And one is resentment. And, you know, one of our tools in Al-Anon is to learn as much about addiction and alcoholism as we can. And so I had the opportunity to attend a family group for a week. And they had a neurologist there who talked about addiction and obsession. And it was very interesting because, you know, it wasn't just heroin that was on the board. It was eating and obsession of other people. And, you know, there were a few things on the board that didn't apply to me, but there were a lot of things on the board that did apply to me. And so what he said was, and I'm just going to share this little story with you because maybe it'll mean something to you, is that addiction or obsession, I'm not quoting someone else. This is really my experience, so nobody get after me about Al-Anon not spoken here, is that mice, when there was an experiment done where mice were acting appropriately because they were in balance and they were not didn't have an obsession. So when food was introduced, they ate. When they had children and danger was introduced, they protected their young. And when a mate was introduced, they reproduced. Then they started giving the mouse drugs. And it was they were able to give it to themselves. They were somehow able to get it out of this little container. So pretty soon they stopped eating and chose the drug. Then they stopped protecting their young when things were introduced. And then finally, they didn't do anything to prolong their life. you know, not just reproducing, but in my mind, that meant to me anything that was healthy, that wanted, you know, that projected life continuing, my own life or someone else's life. And that was such an awareness to me of why my family did the things that they did. Why my mother didn't protect her young, why my father wasn't able to protect his young, because of their own addictions and their own obsessions and their lack of tools that I've now am learning. So my resentment and my anger and my hurt has just washed away because I have an understanding now of why they did the things that they did. And it really had nothing to do with me. It had to do with their own addictions and their own obsessions. And so then, as I've done the steps, I've gotten to forgive myself for not always putting my children's, my children were always fed and cared for, but their emotional state, how on earth could I meet their emotions when I was so, you know, wound up? And I've been able to learn to forgive myself. And so a lot of my anger and shame has fallen away. And then the tools of the program that have helped me so much with these things, are the steps, my sponsor. And for me, I really like to ask myself now, why do I feel this way about this? Like, I always light the candles on Christmas at this way. You know, why do I do that? Is that because of tradition? Is that because it's really important to me? And so I really asked myself that, you know, why did I used to, you know, feel like I had to fight the girl at the counter, at the clerk, you know, the clerk at the grocery store? Why couldn't I state it in a way that, you know, and then let the result go? Why, you know, everything that I did that took away my serenity, I'm now questioning, why am I doing this? And sometimes it's because I didn't know how to set a boundary. I need to set a different boundary. Other times it's because I was trying to control it. I needed to let go and let God. And, you know, one of the things I meant to say when I talked to the lady on the phone, on the hotline, she said, if you come to Al-Anon and you work the program, you will find peace again or serenity again. And I remember thinking, I don't know what that feels like. I don't know what serenity or peace feels like. I could never remember a time in my life that I felt at ease, that I didn't have a sense of anxiety. And it wasn't until I came to Al-Anon and started working the steps that I found that. And I remember talking to my sponsor, and in the beginning, it kind of freaked me out. It's like, this feels weird to me. It felt weird, the sense of peace and calm. And now, little by little, more and more, it's becoming who I am. It's being woven. The program's being woven into my life. And those boulders are reducing. And, you know, fear was one that ODAT, One Day at a Time, has helped me so much. This time last year, we had a family crisis where it seemed everything was threatened. My marriage, our home, our business. It seemed that everything was threatened. And some of my wise friends in this meeting, as well as others that I heard in meetings and the literature that I read, taught me to take one moment at a time. And I used to feel, as many of us did, that if we weren't doing something, then we weren't being responsible. But I came to understand that taking that one moment at a time was the most responsible thing that I could do. And it's so interesting that our marriage is stronger. I have a much better relationship with my children. Our business went in a different direction, which actually is better for our family. And our home is, you know, just fine. And, you know, it's just everything that I was worried about. And I remember at the time when I get crazy now, I sit down and I challenge myself, okay, what are you afraid of today? You can only live in today, so what are you afraid of today? And damn it, I couldn't put one thing on the list that was the problem for that day. So then I started to laugh at myself, and I can tell you now that I can reel it in so much faster when it comes to fear. Because I think about how foolish I felt. I'm ready. You know, I was ready to call my sponsor with a long list of all the things I was going to have to take care of that day. I couldn't come up with one thing. I think I decided to go clean the sink or something in the bathroom. I mean, it was it. And all these things that really were, you know, substantial challenges in our lives, they all worked out exactly as they should. So one day at a time has helped me so much. The steps, you know, confusion, boy, if you're trying to manage it, no wonder I was confused. You know, so step one helped me so much. Perfectionism, acceptance was my antidote for that. You know, and I feel like I have this laser now where I have this big boulder and I just, you know, get out the tools of my program and shoot at it and it just swivels down into nothing. You know, oh my gosh, perfectionism. If you'd come to my door 5 years ago, I had friends that would come to my door and because my house wasn't perfect, I would be rude to them and not let them in because I didn't want them to see that things weren't perfect. I couldn't show you that it wasn't perfect. And then I hated myself because I had this this unrealistic standard. So acceptance and understanding that I can only compare my insides to your insides rather than my insides to my outsides. And you, as my family, share your insides with me. So it makes me, it helps me to be myself. And, you know, disorganization, one thing at a time, put one thing at a time. Now, before, it was always chaos in my organization. Now I'm having some really great stretches, and then we get back into chaos a little bit, and then we get, you know, I get out of it. So I'm hoping that'll stick at some point. You know, the shame, I already talked about that when I understood the disease, I completely understand, you know, why I did the things I did and why my family and friends did the things that they did. Anger and blame has been something that I, you know, when I first came to Al-Anon, Tuesday night, I shared my first meeting. I'm mad. I'm so mad. I'm so angry, you know, and you guys just smiled and, you know, and I could blame, boy, I could tell you, I had the bruises and the pictures to show you why I hated my ex-husband, you know. And today I know that my ex-husband was probably a dry drunk and definitely an untreated Al-Anon. And I certainly didn't know how to let things go or not bring things up, as we say in the do's and don'ts. I mean, we were living the don't column all the time. And so, you know, I have a sense of love for him now, a sense of compassion that I didn't have before. And that makes me not so reactive. You know, makes me not so reactive. And I used to have, and I still have a problem with sneezing, most of you that know me, but I used to have allergic reactions to a lot of things. And it's very interesting that the more I practice not reacting, the more those allergy things are going away. Like I'm not, you know, someone can't, you know, it was like, I sniff something and I'd sneeze, or you look at me this way and I'd get angry. I mean, it was that fast of a, and if you didn't want to do what I wanted to do, wow, we were having an allergic fit. And you know, it's so cool to see now that so much of that has fallen away. And it's all because of the program. I couldn't have even told you that all this stuff was in my bag before. I didn't know. I didn't know what was wrong. And so I'll just pick a couple more that, you know, arrogance and grief. Arrogance was because I was taught that you were either not good enough or you're way too good. That was definitely a lot of the two sides of the alcoholism that I saw. And so I would act arrogant, and then underneath I thought I wasn't even good enough. And so that has mellowed out some. And then I guess the one that has been the most, you know, there's been so many miracles already, I can't say which is the best, but the idea of grief. I started reading that book, Transforming Your Losses, that's Al-Anon literature. And it helped me to see that grief wasn't just about someone who passes away. It's the grief of, you know, I'm not married to Ricky Ricardo or to, you know, Charles Ingalls, because I grew up, you know, thinking that those were my life models. You know, June Cleaver is not my mom. And those kind of grief, and grief that my career didn't go where I thought it was going to go, but to understand that the thing that counteracts grief for me is gratitude and the awareness that everything has happened for a reason. And, you know, I'd hear that before I came to Al-Anon. That was nothing new, you know. But I remember last summer when I was just feeling so concerned. I felt like, okay, now I've got these tools, but if I don't apply them right, it's all going to, blow up. And I remember a dear friend who's sitting in this room said to me, it's as it should be. Everything is as it should be. And, you know, as I look back on my life, I used to, if you had said to me before, what would you change? Boy, I could have changed not living with that couple, my parent, you know. But I realized today that this is what brought me to Al-Anon. This is what brought me through those doors. And so I wouldn't change one thing. I wouldn't change one thing, because what if that didn't happen and then I was still out there? You know? So I'm so grateful for this opportunity, and this was such a great thank you for asking me, because it gave me a chance to really sit down and think about what I'd been dragging around, you know, all together. And so I think we should have some time, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'll open up the meeting, and you're welcome to share on the published topic, which is Let Go or Be Dragged, which, you know, I did learn that when I was five. One of my wealthy grandfathers got me a pony, and so the first time, you know, my foot was caught in the thing and I was hanging on. So I did learn one thing before I got to Al-Anon, was to let go. You know, or what you've been dragging around, and how Al-Anon has helped you to shrink those boulders or to get rid of them altogether. So thank you so much for letting me share with you.
Thank you. So the meeting is open. I would ask if you share, if you would be willing to come up to the front. That would be very nice.
I know a lot of names in here.
Well, it takes some time to let all this, for me it does.
Okay. What you share. I'll be patient, no control.
No, he's coming to the front, look at this.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Riddell.
Hi, Riddell. Hi, Riddell.
Let go or be dragged. Right now I'm going through, it's a good lesson for me. I thought I was kind of doing a good job. I'd been kind of in the program for a little while, a couple years, and I saw a lot of changes in my life, and definitely saw a lot of changes with my attitude, and so things were kind of moving along, and I had this accident. I fell. I was ice skating and I fell and I broke my leg, and it was so quick. I hadn't even made it once around the ice skating ring, and I just fell, and I fell once back, and then my little nephews were around me, and I was kind of embarrassed for them to see me fall, so I got up quick. So I think in a part it was that. My little nephew is kind of a big guy, like strong guy, and he's like, Dio, can I help you? And I said, no, I'm fine. So I think in that, I'm not 100% sure that if he would have helped me, I wouldn't have broken my leg, because it wasn't until the second fall. So this has been a real humbling experience to let people help me, because it's easy for me to help. It's easy for me to do the helping, because I feel good, and you know, all my codependencies, that's just like perfect. Like, you know, I feel less than, and you know, I think I feel like I'm more, but I really feel like I'm less than, and you know, all these issues that I have with my mother that I really thought, and I guess I hadn't realized, like, I'm just trying to live in gratitude. Like, she's nursing me, she's like, all these things that, you know, I don't like to ask for anything. I like to do, you know, I'm very independent, and, you know, having to ask for things, and just this this new time in my life, you know, I thought I wouldn't have to go through this till like maybe when I was older, you know. I've heard people in meetings, you know, I have to accept my health, and you know, I've always been very healthy, kind of the opposite. And ironically, my work has a lot to do with helping in health. So I went from doing the caring to being. So it's been very humbling, and it's also helped me see relationships that I didn't notice had healed as much as I thought with my mother, where I thought I had many more, really. That has been a blessing, like to see that situations were are a lot more healed than I previously thought. You know, I'm human, I have these moments like in the end of the evening where it's like, I don't want to know anything. And I hadn't been able to come to a meeting for a couple months. And so, you know, that also shifted my kind of reality and my perspective on life. But I'd been kind of, you know, taking it a day at a time, and it's just new. It's new to me. All this is new. And I'm trying to live in gratitude. That's exactly where I'm trying to be. And thank you for letting me share, because I needed it.
Thank you, Rochelle.
Member of Al-Anon, and let go and be dragged. That's a great topic, because I basically felt today that I was going to be dragged. I didn't really want to come to the meeting today. I didn't want to come to the event, because I just I was feeling sorry for myself, and I was feeling like you know, I'd had some things happen during the week that I just had a really hard time dealing with, having to do with my children and my job, and I felt left out and threatened, and so I was carrying a lot of resentment all week, and also I had been to conferences before, and some things had happened from before. And so I was carrying all of these past experiences. And so I came to the event today, and come to find out that the luncheon is sold out. And somebody mentioned that to me, and as I was coming in, and asked where I could get a ticket to the luncheon. And it's sold out, and I should have bought a ticket before yesterday, but I didn't. So I started feeling resentful because of that, and because I really am hungry, but I guess I could go to the restaurant. No, so, but you know, it's just all of this stuff that you just hold on to, and you know, things happen to you during the week, or and I've been going to meetings. It's not like I haven't been going to meetings, because I've been going to meetings. But it's just this old behavior that I have. And it's, you know, I had this behavior before I came to Al-Anon for how many years? I'm not going to tell you, because I don't like to tell my age. But anyway, so, you know, all this stuff that I've had to work on, and all this stuff that I had to clean out and make, you know, make better, and I feel like, you know, I loved your talk. It was just, I'm so glad I came, and it was very helpful for me, and I didn't know all that about you, so, and I've seen you a lot, and don't know you that well, so anyway, I'm really glad to be at the conference today, and I'm sorry I can't. I guess I can sit at the luncheon, maybe. listen to the speaker, because I really wanted to hear that speaker. But anyway, thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Ron.
Hi, Ron.
Ron, up front.
You want to come up here, Ron? Please? Thank you.
Should we give him a chair?
I didn't know we had protocol.
We do.
And a lot of people that'll tell you where to go, I'll tell you that. I love working the Orange County AA Convention with Alan on participation, especially the host and hostess, because I get to tell the AAs where to go. My only opportunity is probably my only job at the time. But, you know, let go or be dragged suits me to a T when I'm feeling sorry for myself. You know, when I'm not in acceptance, then I'm hanging on to that chain. And that chain just drags me down. It's like it's an anchor. And I'm just, you know, ready to jump off the boat, and I'll jump. And I'll let it drag me down to the depths of the ocean. But I've learned in program that when I look at the solution, when I search for the solution, I feel better. When I'm in acceptance of whatever's going on, because let's face it, I'm the cause of why I'm in my dilemma. So therefore, I am the solution with my higher powers' help, guidance. You know, that is my solution. So what I do is I focus on the solution. I practice acceptance, and then I get into the solution, work the solution, and you know, I'm feeling better by then. And things work out the way they're supposed to work out, whether it's my way or not. It doesn't really matter. As long as it's in my higher powers process for me, I'm okay. Thanks for letting me share.
Hi, Sue.
And this topic makes me want to share a victory. Last night, the computer crashed. And the computer was my husband's domain, and he passed away 3.5 years ago. And he got sick so quickly, he didn't have time to teach me anything about the computer. But I know my part in that was I didn't want to learn. In the 18 years we were married, I didn't want to learn. If there was a problem, I just called him and he would fix it. And my brother, who's staying with me, and I, we were trying to follow the instructions on the computer, and we reached a point where we needed a password. Well, I don't have any of my husband's passwords. So, and I was getting ready to come down here for the convention, and it, you know, I needed to go to sleep, and I just said to my brother, I said, I'm not going to deal with this now. I need to go to sleep. And before I went to sleep, I had a little chat with my husband and with God, and I just let go of the computer and, you know, consider what's the worst case scenario. Everything is lost because I have been procrastinating on getting a friend to help me back up the computer because I don't even know how to do that. So that has lit a fire under me to get a friend over soon to back up my computer. And I got here today and I called my brother, who's holding down the fort with my dogs, and he tells me the computer's working. I said, oh, okay, good. And in the past, I would have worried and I would have panicked and I would have had us losing everything, and I would have gotten angry, and my brother, who has a lot of anger, would have gotten really angry, and then I would disappear, and I would have been worried about it all night, and probably this morning, instead of getting ready to come here, I would have been on the computer trying to figure it out, and cursing my ex-husband, which I did not do, my late husband, I should say, not my ex-husband, and it was so natural just to say, no, I'm going to bed. And so I just wanted to share that because that was what came to my mind on the topic, let go or be dragged. And this time, I wasn't dragged. And now I have a new goal, which is to back up the computer and learn how to do that. and learn a little bit more about the computer and consider what I need to do in the future, because it's an old computer. So, and I'm still living in the 20th century when it comes to machines, and it's like, okay, I need to get into the 21st century and take care of myself, because no one else is going to take care of me, even though there are people around who would really like to take care of me. So thank you for letting me share.
Hi again. Hi, I'm Tiana.
Hi, Tiana.
It's really different when you're standing up here. I wanted to share, I'd been busy working, taking care of my nephews, so and up until like yesterday, I really hadn't been to a meeting in a week or two. And I can feel when I'm not at a meeting. But I was keeping better check of it, you know, because I wasn't going way out into the land of the lost. And I have the situation that I'm going through to where I really could have just kept spinning on it. And I had to, it put me, due to the reaction of someone, it put me in a position to set a big boundary. But I really sat and I thought about it, and it was like, I was able to make my point, but I made sure, I had to do it through text message, because I couldn't have done, if I had stood there, I would have just kept going, and I could feel myself, you know, just ranting. So I was able to stop and think about it. So I was able to make my point. I still had my dignity, and the other person still had theirs. So I did that on, like, Sunday. By, like, Wednesday, because I'm home by myself, you know, me and my little dog and my cats, and I'm busy working, and my son's at his dad's, so there's a lot of quiet in the house, which is not always good. By Wednesday, I wanted to call this person up and shred them, because I just had lost patience. And luckily, I have, you know, enough going on. I said, you know what? A wise person told me, if you think you should do that, maybe you need to stop and think about it. So I caught myself. Okay. So settled down from that. And it took about probably an hour through that fun cycle going on. And well, then Friday comes along. I'm telling you, this is it. Yeah, yesterday morning. Well, I get myself back in this tizzy again. And I'm like, no, just be patient. 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm awake. Can't go back to sleep. Tossing and turning. I'm like, no, go back to sleep. It's too early. Nothing like watching the sunrise. So I said, forget it. I'll get up. So I went through the day, kind of finally worked through that and settled down. I slept good last night. And then to where this person kind of comes in and out of the house, and I thought, you know, what else can I do to keep my serenity until this situation is taken care of? Because I've made my points, and I said, but as a wise person that I hear says, this is what needs to be done. I'm sure you'll figure it out. And I had to let it go. I just had to let it go. So this was really, so then I thought, what else can I do? Well, my brother's out of town, and he lives like a mile from me. And he's got a big old flat screen TV where I recorded the Olympics, because I've been watching his house all week. And he's got a great pool and jacuzzi. So I said, hey, brother, you know, I live like a mile from, can I stay at your place and keep an eye on the dogs over there? And he said, sure. And it's only, you know, a short distance from here. So I'm at least able to be, even though it's out of my house, I'm not in the situation until things can get resolved, which is going to be a couple more days. And I don't have to worry about putting myself in that situation to where I might say something that I regret. Is one reason why I'd done part of my first rant through text message, because I could stop and read. Am I being polite? Am I being kind? And I just had to set the boundary and say, you know what, this isn't okay. You need to fix it. So I stopped, and then I caught myself during the week, and I said, you know, if I didn't have Alan on, I would have made that phone call Wednesday when I was wound up going, this is not okay, you know. And I would have gone, oh, the other key thing, I stayed on topic. I didn't bring in you know, those little side things. So I know I've learned there. I've got a lot more learning to do, But I was pretty proud that I was like staying on topic. And I was like, ooh, I did stay on topic. So just glad, you know, I'm going to be here all day and I'll be here tomorrow. So I'll get my cup filled up again and it'll be good. So thanks.
Stories like this, where people divulge a lot of things that I think other people who are not part of Al-Anon would just. And here, it's such a safe place. And for me, you know, my family, my parents have passed away. My sister lives really far away. This has become my extended family, family that I've chosen. And your topic, let go or be dragged, it's something that I have been working on for this last few weeks with my sponsor. And through the gift of this program and the awareness, I've been able to see my children. And I have three young adult children. And I've been able to see what happens when we resist letting go. The divorce between their father and I was very difficult for them. And I see them trying to recreate the family. And It's tough because they'll come to me and talk to me about it. And I have one child that's in young, it's hard to call him a child, he's my baby, he's like 6'3", but who's in a program. And I can see the anger and the resistance because he doesn't want to let go. He wants to blame. He wants to blame somebody. And if it's not me, then it's Dad. And if it's not Dad, it's the situation. And, you know, this program teaches me that I have to look at myself. And I've had to use that line with my son. I know you're really smart. You'll work it out. And he just looks at me and rolls his eyes and walks away. But he has enough of the program to understand. But I realize that I, in part, have been doing the same thing. It was very difficult to let go. And my sponsor has been working with me, and the thing that she's been having me do is, number one, read a lot of literature. A lot of literature. And it's like every 15 minutes, a lot of literature. And she'll have me write something that kind of hits home for me. And then she'll remind me, you know, Cynthia, you can, what you need to do is you need to be ready to ask God to help you do what you can't do by yourself. And for me, it's to ask him to help me let go so that I can surrender and accept the situation as it is. And when I do that, then I can go into gratitude and say, oh, wow, you know what? I may not have this, which I think I should have, but God obviously knows that maybe there's something better. So I'm going to have to trust in that. And so I'll go down the list of I'm grateful for my home. And sometimes I'll say, I don't know what I'm grateful for. She goes, okay, you're totally off kilter. I'm grateful for my home. I'm grateful for my children, my health, for food in the refrigerator, for the sunshine. I mean, getting down to the basics. And once I do that, then I can say, okay, God, you're giving me what I need in your time, not in my time. And what happened yesterday is gone. And tomorrow I really don't need to worry about. All I have is today, and I don't know what he's going to present in my day-to-day. I know that I'm here, but I don't know what's going to happen through the day. So in letting go, I'm able to appreciate those things and work the steps in my program with the help of my sponsor, with the help of reading literature, with the help of being here. Like someone else who spoke, I didn't want to come. I have to because I always take on a job of service, And that's one of the gifts of doing service. Sometimes I'd rather just stay in bed. But the fact of when I do that, it's because I'm letting these things drag me down. So I need to physically get up and get moving. So thank you for letting me share, and thank you. That was a very courageous share.
Anyone with a burning need to share?
Hi, I'm Jerry.
Hi, Jerry.
And up till about, well, so about 16 months ago, I was considered myself a great cowboy because I was always the one that was holding on the horse trying to make it stop. And so I've learned since then that I have a lot more compassion for people, and I have more patience. I have... I'm a real good listener now. And being patient with people has always been kind of my weak spot. I mean, I'm not that it sounds like I'm a cold-hearted, but I've always wanted a quick response. I say, okay, you know, let's do this, and, you know, you haven't done it yet. so... I'm getting better at that. And it's helped me with my relationships. It's helped me with my marriage. That's about it, really. I just wanted to say that I'm getting better, and Al-Anon has really helped me out, and I plan on being graduating one of these days. I know some people in Al-Anon have definitely, I think, have graduated. I know my wife is about ready to graduate. And so thanks so much.
Thank you. Well, thank you, everyone. Thank you again, Cheryl. Thank you so much. It's the closing. There's no closing to read, so
someone is going to be